And we're back. Welcome to another week of the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman and Jay Farrar coming at you live from TSN 990 studios in Westmount, Quebec. Hello, Mr. F.
Good evening, Dave Kaufman.
How are you, buddy?
I'm excellent. How are you?
I'm a little worse for wear. It's been a crazy week.
What happened, Dave?
Oh, only amazing things.
Okay.
As always, only amazing things.
Yeah, when I'm worse for wear, it's usually something amazing happened the night before.
Well, it's been pretty much a week of just nonstop. Actually, forget that. It's been a whole month.
Yeah.
You know, starting with Jazz Fest and then into Just for Laughs. This weekend was Oceaga. Threw in a trip to Cooperstown for Measure. It's, Shaq and Brody's been staying at my place. It's been a nuts week,
You're
man.
Not wasting the summer.
Far from it.
Good.
And to anybody that says that Montreal's lost a bit of its edge this summer, I think they've been under the sand in at Oka Beach or something.
I don't think edge has been a problem with the protests, and there's plenty of edge.
Well, there were no protests this weekend.
No.
Everybody was too busy having fun and soaking up the sun at Oceaga until yesterday when one of the craziest rainstorms I've ever been in, you know, not running for shelter. And you could see it coming. It was while the Shins were on stage. And you can even hear my voice. It's still cracking. I'm doing good. Don't worry, everybody. It's been a wonderful weekend, but a little too much singing and a little too much fun. And here we are back on a Monday on the Kaufman Show. But Jay, you could see the storm coming. You could see it hitting Montreal and raining on Montreal and making its way across the water. And suddenly 40,000 people just mobilize. And everybody, you know, jumps under their tarps, and I pulled up an umbrella and just dug in and ended up relatively dry.
Now, this is during the concert.
This was during the show, yeah.
You're supposed to soak in the rain. That's part of the concert, is you're supposed to get wet and then start mudsliding.
Oh, dude.
You don't bring an umbrella. Really?
Well, you were at Oceaga last year. You know that you can't mudslide on rocks and gravel.
Well, the way some people were feeling, I'm pretty sure they could have.
It was an incredible festival this year. And we will get into it in detail throughout the program tonight. Got a lot going on for you tonight. We're going to start off the show with a bang, with a bit of an expose. We're going to hear from Nicholas Makrizanaris, who has been on the show a couple of times. He'll be joining us in studio tonight. He's got a lot to talk about. We're going to hear why Canadians can't compete with the rest of the world at the Olympics.
It's going to be interesting. He's got something up his sleeve, and I think everybody should tune in and listen. You're going to see a different perspective about Canadian athletes.
We saw the best of Canadian athletes this afternoon.
We did.
And I didn't know that Mr. Peel was reffing in soccer now.
Wow.
At Old Trafford. It was just a mess today, and I don't want to dwell on you know, getting hosed like Canada did. It was a terrible feeling. What can you do? Move on. We know who won that game.
They're amazing. They're amazing. And they're certainly going to come back from this. It was more of a moral defeat than anything else. And they'll certainly come back from that, because you can see the way they come back from every time they were scored against. They were right back up there in the other zone.
I've never seen a performance like I saw today from Christine St. Clair.
Grit. There are a few male soccer players which can learn from these ladies, I'll tell you that.
You know, and it's interesting, because tonight we will actually speak with a professional soccer player on the show. We'll be joined by Andrew Wenger around 9:30 tonight, who is a rookie. He was the first draft pick for the Montreal Impact in the MLS.
Historic.
Should be interesting. He played for the U.S. under-20 team. He was the captain at Duke University. And the guy loves our city. We were talking about it a couple of weeks ago, the big blog post that he wrote. It was basically a giant love letter to Montreal. So we'll get his perspective on the game and a couple of other things as well. We will be joined by Shaka Brody after Mr. Makrizanaris regales us with his Olympic stories. We've also got Nick Dyka from Arkells in studio. Got a lot in studio tonight, actually.
The boys are here.
That's right. Brad Ferguson's here as well, Canadian music legend.
No instruments, though.
That's okay.
No?
That's okay.
They're going to sing?
They're going to, yes. And I think Ben Christensen might join them.
Okay.
Maybe Makrizanaris, too. We're going to start a chorus tonight. It's going to be like the Kaufman Show Glee edition or something.
Oh, man.
Oh. Maybe not.
No. Well, I hope not.
Well, you know I'm still holding on to the video of you singing My Way.
Ah, yes.
We'll pull that out when it's appropriate.
Yes. Blackmail. I get it.
Yes.
All right.
Yes,
I deserve no less.
It's Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar. This is the Kaufman Show. Mark Della Posta on the board. Good evening, sir.
How are you, sir?
We're fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah? Keeping relaxed? Everything's good?
Yeah, keeping relaxed.
All right. Welcome to the business.
Thank you.
You're going to do just great.
I appreciate the support.
Good. Let's take a commercial break.
Let's do that.
All right.
he knows how to do that, right?
Yes, yes. Okay. We have Mark on the board tonight. It's his. We are breaking him in. We are breaking him in, and he's doing a fine job.
Softly and gently.
That we don't know any other
we'll
way.
We'll see about that.
The Canadian way. This is the Kaufman Show. When we return, we'll be joined by Nicholas Makrizanaris, former Olympian, former fastest man in Canada. Welcome back to the Kaufman Show, where I'm a little bit out of breath right now. There's something very comical about running, sprinting to get the door for the former fastest man in the country.
Oceania's over. What are you running around for?
Oh, I had to open the door for Nicholas Makrizanaris. Here, you. I'll catch my breath. You talk for a second.
What would you like me to say?
Oh, Jay, come on. Talk about whatever you want.
I just saw him come in. How you doing, Nick? Hanging over there? Okay. You okay?
I'm wonderful.
Okay.
I'm wonderful. Pretty sure that was a sub 10.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wind-aided.
Yeah.
I mean, we are in...
Do your little Hulk Hogan pose.
My little Hulk Hogan pose?
Well, you know...
Do I have a big one, too?
Well, you know, Bolt does that thing where he stretches his arms out, and then the mascot, the very creepy-looking London mascot, does the same thing right next to him.
Let's, you know, just an awkward moment. We can start on a nice light moment this way. Thank you for that, Jay. Nicholas Makrizanaris, have you ever done a show-offy kind of move after winning a race the way that Usain Bolt does?
No, I haven't.
Something about acting like you've been there before, right? Once you get into the end zone?
I was very humble when I won races.
Which I think is much more endearing than... I mean, he's got the bravado, and don't get me wrong, he's earned it. You know, how many guys are... Two guys...
There's nothing wrong with that.
Two guys have won
swag.
Back-to-back gold.
It's swag.
And the other one's Carl Lewis.
I love it.
Of course you do.
I love it.
Of course you do.
Yeah, I support that kind of behavior.
You guys, you radio listeners, you should all hear how Jay celebrates at the end of every show. It's unbelievable. He dances up and down Green Avenue.
Yeah, and I start slamming things and throwing the headphones and, yeah.
Nicholas, how are you, man?
Good.
Did you?
I actually come to think about it, I did take off my shirt once and I did a victory lap.
Nice, like
a soccer
player.
I almost lost my marbles in front of 50,000 people.
Where was this?
This was
Mexico City.
The big race.
Okay.
Yeah, I took off my shirt and I don't know what I was. I was kind of like pointing out that I had no muscles, but I was able to win. You know, versus guys that are like twice my size.
What did you feel watching the race yesterday?
Well, you know, I'm a fan of track and field. I wanted Usain Bolt to win. I was very nervous. Even though I was not running, I was just very, very, it just takes over me, you know, and I think, it's an amazing, opportunity for those 8 sprinters to be, in that kind of, environment where the whole world is watching, particularly that Usain Bolt has brought track and field to another level, you know?
He really has. It's, obviously it's the marquee event of the Olympics, but for some reason this year it felt even bigger. And I mean, I think that 7 of the 8 guys ran a sub 10, right?
Right.
I mean, that's unheard of. I don't think that's I'm pretty sure that's never happened.
You know, I don't understand why there's such a huge change between and then decade. You know, if you look back in 2000, there were a few athletes running 9.8 and 9.9. And today it seems to me that if you don't run a 9.9, you don't qualify to the Olympic finals.
And only in 10 years. I mean, you look at the records, if you see it over 50 or 60, and you can sort of see the gradual, you know, decrease of the time. But what would explain that? I mean, better training regimens?
There's a combination of
drugs, if you will.
Right. There's a, in my opinion, there's a combination of a lot of things. A lot of factors come into play. You know, new Mondo services that are just like designed to go faster, and new equipment, running spikes, new science behind, you know, new supplements, new training techniques. And, you know, in some cases, steroids is also part of the reason.
Well, we had our first drug bust of the Olympics, if you will, but it was for pot. So right. I don't think that counts. I don't think that makes you any faster.
Dude said he didn't even smoke it. He said he had a couple of brownies or something.
He doesn't remember, Jay.
He doesn't remember? Well, why would he, right?
I think he did it at Oshiaga.
Yeah.
Nick, now we spoke, you got in touch with me on Friday.
Right.
And you wanted to talk about how Canadian athletes you feel are getting a raw deal out of London 2012, and especially as far as fans' expectations, right?
Right. Well, you know, I guess illustrated, people come up to me, they're excited about the Olympics, you know, they want to know, you know, my opinion. And I feel bad because there's a lot of people that kind of like bash the Canadians' performance.
Why do you think that is?
Well, I think before I kind of like talk about it, I want to make sure that I'm a very happy person. I don't want to come across as a person who's very like bitter about his Olympic or his career, I should say, you know.
I got the impression.
Like me, yeah.
Like you, exactly. Yeah. I think that anybody that knows you, Nicholas, and for those of you that don't, Nicholas Makrizanaris is a six-time 100-meter sprint champion for Canada. He has the second fastest 100-meter time in Canadian history and represented our country at two Olympic Games. I know him on a personal level. There isn't a mean bone in the guy's body. And anything that you want to say, it's because you care and you want people to both understand. And I think you want Canada to be better on the world stage.
Right, right. There is new programs being introduced to the amateur sports in Canada that's going to certainly improve the athletes in the near future. But as an athlete myself, I look back my journey and my path that I took from 2000, even before that, until now, until I recently retired in 2010. My life changed, and the support that I started receiving, and the props that I started receiving is only after one race, and I had to go and beat the best in the world, the world record holder. And from that point in my life, things have changed. I got the support. I had the budget to plan training camps. I had, you know, fantastic sponsors from Reebok. Coca-Cola came up on board, you know, Bank of Cyprus. My life's completely changed. But that only happened when I beat the world record holder. When I went and I beat the best of the best.
This is Tim Montgomery.
Tim Montgomery. And then things have changed for the better. But, you know, before that, if I tell you stories that happened in my career, it's going to blow you away. You know, you won't believe it. Even after I qualified for my first Olympic Games when I was only 19 years old, it was completely unexpected. I thought that maybe now that I participated in one Olympic Games, that things are going to change and it's going to be easier for my mother and my father to support an athlete such as myself. But it was a complete opposite. Nothing happened. You know, in 2002, I remember, and keep in mind, in 2002, I was Canadian champion. And I was with one of my teammates. We were in Belgium, competing at an international event doing the circuit, and we didn't really have like funds to go ahead and you know, rent cars or, you know, hotels. at one point in time, you know, we were like, we stayed in a monastery in a church overnight. And this is a guy who participated in the Olympics, you know, and the reason I'm here today and I'm passionate about it is because Canadians are programmed to say, well, Canadian athletes are not good enough. But you don't have no idea what's their stories behind the scenes of trying to make it to this international level.
And that's something that we try to talk about. And when we've tried to interview Olympians, first of all, it's not something that they're really willing to talk about. Nobody wants to shout from the rooftops and say, yeah, we're underfunded from the government. We don't receive the support that we do. I think it's important that somebody out here is saying it right now, because I think the more people that understand it, expectations need to be at a realistic level.
Right.
And, you know, you even hear it on the radio station. I don't know about you, Jay, but I've heard people totally denigrating the Olympics and now back to real sports. And I find that to be just insane.
And I was, that's exactly the word I was going to use. It is insanity.
My only issue, Jay, with the Olympics is from the corporate side. Yeah. I love the Olympics. I love that these athletes finally get paid attention to. I think it's not for anywhere near long enough time. And the idea that someone like Nicolas Makrizanaris can go represent the country and then come home and go right back to having the same problems is a terrible issue.
Uh-huh.
But at least it's better than nothing. What, you know, we were talking about it last week, the idea that all this money is made off the backs of these people.
Right.
And nothing trickles down.
And it's insanity how a lot of people, you know, I had a guy sitting next to me at the pub. He says, watching the synchronized swimming. He says, I can't believe they finished fourth. We suck. They suck. They're awful. Really? When was the last time you watched synchronized swimming? You're asking more questions about the actual sport. You have no idea how it works. There was guys asking me questions about judo because I happen to know a little bit about MMA and I've done a little bit of judo and I happen to know a little bit about the point system. They're like, oh, come on, man, we suck. It's incredible that people have the gall to sit there and criticize these athletes and they don't even, when was the last time you went and supported them? Yeah, when you went out and paid for a ticket to go see a competition.
How about making fun of bronzes?
Yeah.
That has driven me crazy. Yeah. I don't understand how people continually make fun of Canada for coming in third.
Yeah, you're six billion people in the world, and you're number three of all the millions who do that sport. Think about it that way, you know?
Less than 1% of all world's population.
Right.
Right?
I tweeted something.
You put it up on your Facebook page.
Some coach kind of brought it up, and I thought it was impressive, so I thought I was impressed, so I figured I was going to share it with my friends.
That's a part of the 1% that we can be proud of,
you know,
right?
I think it's extremely important for people to understand in track and field, there's only two or maybe three spots to qualify in your individual event in 100 meters. And it's every four years. And, you know, you're competing with 35 other, you know, the rest of the country. Very difficult.
Nick, will you stick around for another segment? We've got to take a break for a news update.
Sure.
But I'd love to continue this conversation for a few more minutes and maybe hear some of those stories that you said would blow us away.
Excellent.
Awesome. You are listening to The Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar, and special in-studio guest Nicolas Makrizanaris, a former Olympian. We'll be right back.
And it's trouble ahead and a mess to the left and the right. poverty win.
Welcome back to the Kaufman Show. Coming in on some Sarah Jane Skouten, wonderful Montreal musician. Pick up her record at Grumpy's. I recommend it highly. And considering the conversation that we're about to have with Nicholas Macrozanaris, Poverty Win seems like a suitable song to come in on. Former Olympian who represented our country and had to sleep on the floor at a church because he didn't get the support from the Canadian Olympic Committee right. to get a hotel room. This was in Belgium?
In Belgium. Yeah, but let's just kind of like set it up where it was like with me and three other guys. So it was just
so they didn't have room for any of you to go to a hotel.
Yeah, so it was not like, you know, like...
Well, I'm not saying not too dramatic. I'm not saying they're singling you out.
Sleeping on the floor in a church is kind of dramatic to me.
It's a monastery.
It's something that, yeah. Like that stuff happens in the 30s during the Depression. Like our grandparents would tell us stories about that. I had to sleep in the church.
I don't think I ever heard my grandparents tell me about sleeping in a church.
Oh. No? Why not?
I don't know. Maybe they had enough room in the synagogue or something. I'm not quite sure.
You can't sleep on the floor in a synagogue. Come on.
It hasn't come up.
Okay.
If you know, when I'm...
I'm going to try that one day, see what they say.
When I'm representing our country in Europe,
yeah.
I'll try and find a nice synagogue to crash in. Yeah, there you go. I know, Nick, let's be serious about this for a second, though, because obviously this is an issue. And do you know if the athletes receive similar support to what you received, or has it improved?
Those was an early stage in my career. So I think... That was before I ran very good races and before I got, you know.
Good?
Good.
But you had also mentioned that you came home from your first Olympics.
Right.
So between 2000 and 2004, can you maybe tell us about some of the obstacles that you dealt with then?
Well, you know, there's a story that that happened just before I retired, actually. It was in 2010. And it's just like the Canadian mentality that we have in some cases. I was training at the National Training Center in Montreal. And that National Training Center, the reason it's called that, it's a title that they have. And for that reason, they go and get like subsidized money from federal and provincial governments, even municipalities, to keep that national training center open for athletes such as myself who compete in the highest level. And I remember in 2010, I was preparing myself for the Commonwealth Games, I believe. I showed up at the track. And picture this now. There's a 400-meter outdoor track, summer day. And there's a school of about 18 or 14 kids who reserved it. And, you know, I went over there, and the guy who works there says, you're not allowed to use the facilities. The school has reserved the track. Now, this guy also is aware of who I am. He knows what kind of person I am and, you know, what I achieved.
Yeah, your pedigree, if you will.
Right. And, you know, I'm just programmed to go forward regardless of the problems that I'm going to have in my path. Right. This is part of being a Canadian athlete and sometimes... And I was just doing my work. You know, my job is to qualify for the Commonwealth Games and train, and nothing's going to stop me, right? So this guy went and called the director. The director came downstairs from the National Training Center, hoping that this girl's going to put some sense into this guy's thinking that she's going to let me train. And she basically told me that if I don't leave the premises, so she's going to call the police.
Wow.
You know, and... I never shared this story to nobody, you know, only my close friends. And I'm just kind of like for the first time revealing it to this to the public. And if there's one regret that I have in my life, as I'm going to tell you a little bit later, is that the director finally called the police because I refused to leave the facilities because I wanted to train. And I'm at the Canadian Olympic Training Facility. I'm an Olympic athlete and I'm doing my work to represent Canada. And the police showed up. And basically said, do you want to have a criminal record? And I was like, do your work. I'm doing my work, you know?
Wow.
And he says, so he took out the handcuffs and he was about to handcuff me and arrest me for not leaving, refusing to leave because I wanted to do my work, you know? And that's the one thing that I regret from my career is that I had to tell him who I am and flash my credentials and say, you know, you're about to arrest a two-time Olympian. And he's training at the Olympic Training Center. And if you arrest me, you'll look like a complete fool, you know? And these are things that happen. I'm pretty sure if it happens to me, I'm pretty sure it happens to a lot of Canadian athletes around this country, you know? And it's sad and it bothers me a lot to hear that, you know, people are bashing the Canadians' performances because, you know, you don't have no idea what we go through. We're not professional athletes. We're amateur athletes. And we do the best that we can with the support of our families and our friends. And some cases, when you beat the world record holder, sponsors.
We're joined in studio by six-time national sprint champion Nicholas Makrizanaris, who's shedding some light on just how difficult it is to be an Olympic athlete and hopefully giving some people some understanding as to what they go through and perhaps where our expectations should lie versus where they are.
Would you agree with me that an Olympic athlete training at an Olympic facility and getting threatened to get arrested for doing so, isn't a little bit...
The first thing that runs through my mind, Nicholas, is you would think that the students, the teacher of the students who are out on that track would understand what a benefit it would be for them to be training at the same time as you.
Right.
And maybe you'd be able to teach
I'm sure you wouldn't have had a problem, you know, telling the kids, showing them a few things and, you know, having some fun out there. You have an Olympian on the track with you. I mean, what better teacher or example that you're going to have? And
right.
I love seeing the police taking out the handcuffs. That's the best part.
It seems like an idiot teacher. And
you should have ran around
whoever
the track.
Was from the Olympic Committee, from the Canadian Athletics Committee that you spoke to.
No,
I don't understand.
I think what happens is that, the people working at that center, you know what I mean? They're driven by hierarchy, you know?
Yeah, a hierarchy. Right.
Sure.
Okay.
So they, instead of just saying, listen, you know, we don't have a lot of athletes like yourself. You know, I'm sure these 14 kids are going to be thrilled to have you train and do your four runs outdoors.
Yeah.
And move on. But they didn't even go there. They didn't even like talk to the teacher and say, hey, you mind if he trains? They're just, you know, I don't know what to say. It's just a story that I like to share with Canadians and folks like you, yourselves to understand what's going on, you know?
Can I ask you, Nick, what the follow-up of that was, like the next day?
Well, I look at the security, the lady, I mean, the whole staff, everybody showed up over there because it was probably an interesting story, you know? And I continue training. But, you know, my nerves are a little bit, I got emotionally drained, you know? An athlete shouldn't be going through these kind of emotions when he's training.
Yeah.
You know, the guy takes out his handcuffs, telling him I'm going to have a criminal record and I won't be able to go into the States. And I'm like, I'm just trying to work. I'm just trying, you know. And in there's no room for error, especially when it comes to a discipline in the 100 meters. And you're like trying to improve that extra split second. Everything is calculated. Everything is methodical and pursuit of results. And then you have cops showing up at, you know, again, the Olympic Training Center to arrest you.
It's an incredible story, Nicholas.
And it's amazing to me. Anybody come to your aid? Anybody to back you up a little bit, rescue you, or try to explain to these people exactly what you were doing there?
Well, look, what happened was my coach at the time, I was a little bit feisty too. You know, I was a little bit angry because I'm just trying to do my work. So,
Have been so testy if somebody did that to me.
I would have handled it a lot worse than you did.
Imagine somebody walked into the studio right now and said, oh, no, this is reserved. I'd imagine it's something, it would feel very similar to that.
You better have some handcuffs.
Good luck pulling me away from the mic.
Yeah.
So basically, my coach kind of felt like, because you have to understand, right? My coach is there with a lot of other athletes, and he doesn't want to have any problems over there with the people that work there. He doesn't want to wake up every morning and deal with, you know, like problems and having grudges with people that work there. So he kind of like, he took it a more political way and just walked away. But, you know, those are my core fundamentals of being an athlete, is just focusing and not let anything distract you. Otherwise, I would never reach the levels I've gone, right? I'm super concentrated. And these things cannot change me, You know, it cannot change me. So these are one of many stories, you know.
I don't know what that was, but that's okay.
It's my BlackBerry.
Oh, see,
somebody's birthday.
See, it wasn't me this time.
There you go. That's fair.
Right.
That's it. We'll save that for Jose Canseco, Jay. Yeah. Nicholas, thank you so much for sharing your story with us.
Thanks for having me. Hey, thanks for giving me the platform to share those great memories.
Anytime, man. Anytime. And of course, there are actually some wonderful memories. And if anybody wants to go back through our archives, go to YouTube and type in The Kaufman Show. We had Nicholas in studio in March, and you told some great stories. So we contrast that time with this time, and somewhere in the middle is your Olympic experience, I think.
Thanks a lot for having me, guys.
Thank you, Nick. And for everybody out there listening, maybe lay off Paula Finley a little bit, you know? Maybe lay off an athlete who comes in fourth or fifth or 17th or 32nd. It's better than anything that you'll see at the local track. And if you do see it at a local track and they're about to get arrested, go tell them who they are. That should never happen to you, Nick. I'm sorry that that happened to you. I'm embarrassed as a Canadian. And
well, you know what? It's the mistake of one director or one person who didn't use his common sense. It's not... I don't blame...
but if you think that that's happening at the American training facility, you're crazy.
No, because I've been there, and they welcome me better than anybody, you know. They give me access to all the facilities, and they even give me access to the recovery facilities. So,
two-time Olympian Nicholas Makrizanaris on The Kaufman Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Kaufman Show. This song couldn't be more true. We'll call it an Oceaga hangover. Lots of walking this weekend, Jay. Lots of sunshine.
Yes. Well, it was a beautiful weekend. You know what I would have liked to have seen?
What? Or who?
Nick running around with the cop trying to get the handcuffs on him. Just running away. Who would have caught him?
To the theme
Think about that.
Of Benny Hill, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I think it has
like
to be.
Like backwards, running backwards. Just for kicks.
I would have done that. I know we're joking about it right now, but it's really not a funny story.
No, it's not.
It's unbelievable to think that. I mean, can you imagine an NHL player getting arrested for staying on the ice sheet and, you know, oh, I'm sorry, LCC has this reserved. No. Yeah. Scott Gomez is out there and he's working on his wrist shot. He wants to put some pucks in the back of the net. Just seems insane to me. And the double standard that we have for professional athletes versus amateur athletes really upsets me. We don't see athletes like the Canadian women's soccer team. And by the way, everybody, 2015, the Women's World Cup of Soccer will be in Canada. Get your tickets. I think.
Where?
All across the country.
Oh, okay.
So Montreal's
all
one of the cities.
Yeah.
I think it's Montreal. Actually, I don't know if Toronto's part of it. Edmonton and Calgary. Toronto has to be a part
of
it.
Well, yeah.
Has to be. But I think the final is going to be in Edmonton. Lord knows why.
Right.
And hello to all of our listeners in Alberta.
Yeah. And if anybody wants to, I mean, listen, the midfielder for that Canadian soccer squad is not going to make millions of dollars. But you see on these girls' faces today, the exertion, the sweat coming down, the pain they were going through. Hyperextended legs and being spiked constantly.
And knowing they were playing,
and getting right back up.
Knowing they were playing on an uneven pitch.
Right.
That they were playing against the referee as well.
It seems that they were, but still giving it their all. And for what? a piece of metal and a sense of patriotism.
We're going to be we've got a revolving door of guests in studio tonight. I feel like we should set up some bleachers in here. But we're going to bring in Ben Christensen right now. Shaka Brody, who was with us last week, he's our baseball correspondent. And we're actually going to talk a little Olympics with him. Hello, Ben.
How's it going?
We're fantastic. And Ben's been staying with me for the last week. We'll tell you about our little road trip to Cooperstown a little later and our trip to Fenway tomorrow. But in the meantime, I have forced Ben to watch CTV/TSN's coverage of the Olympics for the last week. And it's been very interesting to watch an American watch Canadian Olympic coverage. Ben, would you mind elaborating a little bit?
Well, I will first start off with I've never been more entertained than by, is it Daniel O'Toole?
And Jay Onwright.
Yeah. Oh, my Lord. By far, one of the best duos in sports commentary I've ever seen in my life. And that blows away everything I've ever seen on ESPN. But most importantly, the coverage of the Olympics that CTV has been doing compared to like NBC in the States, it's extraordinary because, and especially with the coverage they give on the athletes, because in the States, it's generally more just focused on specific United States athletes. They will throw some other ones in of other countries here.
Yeah, if they're in direct competition.
In direct competition, or there's like some, you know, glorious story about them. But with Canada, it's they try to give as much coverage as they can to everybody. And then even in which case, whether they win or lose, it's always on the basis of, you know, if they finish with a bronze, everybody, you know, goes crazy. I've seen more athletes happier winning the bronze than I did see Michael Phelps win a silver medal. That blew me away.
Did you find that the American coverage sometimes seems to be a little bit more contrived? I mean, it's clearly more edited and cut up for television.
Well, none of it's live.
No, well, that's it. Well, you know, yeah. But they act as if it is sometimes. And I don't know. I think that's one of the main differences. I mean, obviously, NBC is an American station, and they're going to focus on the American athletes. But at the same time, it just sometimes when I'm watching the NBC feed, I don't feel that it's real. I don't know why. Whereas you go back to the desk on TSN, and the guys, they're there as if they just watched it. You know, they got back to Landsberg, Michael Landsberg, today, and he started bitching about the referee right away.
Oh, that was amazing.
He did not hold back.
He was so defeated.
Yeah.
He sounded the way that I think we as Canadians all felt. We as Canadians plus Ben Christensen sitting in my living room.
Yeah, so there's a certain honesty to it that I find on TSN and all the networks that are covering it in Canada.
Which has been really nice. And again, it's been incredibly refreshing to watch it with somebody who, you know, you have no reason to cheer for Canada other than the fact that you've had a good time here in the last week.
Yeah.
But yet you are. And I get that. I find it interesting that you enjoy the coverage and the way that, you know, and a good example actually was staying up really late a few nights ago and watching Paula Finley in the triathlon. And I mean, she came in dead last.
Yeah.
And as it turns out, it's turning out to be quite an interesting story as to why. And the flag bearer, Simon Whitfield, who's the male triathlete, says that she was mismanaged and that she came back too fast from injury. But just watching that with you, I thought was fascinating to watch coverage of somebody going through the motions in last place versus the person who's in first place.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that kind of goes the way with, I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be Canada. It just has to be with any country. As long as they have, you know, the foresight and the determination to actually finish the race, then, you know, I'll applaud them every single time. I mean, there was the sprinter from 20 years ago that we were watching the story on.
Oh, goodness. Yeah, they showed on CTV there was this...
I don't know why I can't think of his name right now.
Me neither. There was like this 10-minute documentary about a British 100-meter sprinter. 200, that's right.
No, 400, sorry.
400, 600, 800. doesn't matter. The point is that he suffered a terrible injury while running the race. He was favorited to medal, and he was hobbling. And just in agonizing pain, and his father jumped out of the stands and helped him walk to the finish line.
Yeah, that was in Atlanta.
No, it was Barcelona.
It was Barcelona
because it was the 20th.
I remember that. I saw it live.
There you go.
Yeah.
And it's one of the greatest moments in Olympic history and shows that, you know, sometimes coming in first isn't everything. And maybe he didn't get the sponsorships that Nicholas Makrisinaris was talking about.
But he just wanted to finish the race. That's all he wanted to do. He wanted to cross the finish line.
He got something a lot bigger. He got letters from people saying that his determination is what allowed them to continue on in their lives.
Right.
Like real inspiring stuff that's allowed him to lead a fulfilled and happy life and not think of that as a moment of negativity, but as a moment that, that transformed things and made things better for people. Let's go to the phones. 514-790-0990 if any of you want to talk some Olympics. If you're out of town, Americans always welcome. 1-866-896-2546. We've got John in Denver.
Before we go to John,
yes,
it was
Mark.
Derek Redmond.
Yeah,
that's right.
Thank you very much, Mark.
I was just about to say that.
Well, you got beat out by it, John. How
I
are you?
I sent it to you on Twitter, so I think I beat it. Anyways.
Awesome, John. Thanks for the call.
Oh, hats off.
Just kidding. Hats just kidding.
Off.
What's going on, man?
Hats off to Christine Sinclair in Canada for that match.
Well, it's very, very nice of you to say.
Unbelievable. I'm not one of those fans who believe in deserved results regardless of the outcome of the game, but that game could have gone on for hours. I wish that was a playoff hockey game.
Hmm, it had that feeling, didn't it?
Didn't it?
Do you feel even now for the gold medal game in 2010?
Not even a little. Partially because it was Sidney Crosby and I can't stand him.
Well, you know, let's put that aside right now and let's remember that your backup goalie back then was Tim Thomas, not the person that you want waving the flag for you.
I disavow him as an American right now.
My goodness.
You know, and John, now that we've got you on the phone, I have a question for you. Have you been watching NBC's coverage of the Olympics?
I have and I hate it.
Okay. Why?
The tape delays, the cutting out of everything important, the non-American athletes. It's ridiculous.
Well, at least they showed Usain Bolt, right?
Wait, what was that?
Or maybe they're showing it live tomorrow. I don't know.
No, yeah. We get that.
We are live.
We get this. I think they're going to show it as part of the Thanksgiving Day parade.
Oh, that will be cool.
Yeah, they'll have a Usain Bolt float.
John, anything else before we got to take a news break? But anything else we can help
buddy.
You with?
Good to talk to y'all. Thanks
you too, man. Hope things are good out in Denver. Thank you,
that.
Sir.
Have a good one.
I say best of luck in the Olympics, but
he was well behaved. I'm glad I didn't have to jump in there.
Two in a row, Jay.
Yeah.
Two in a row.
Not bad.
John in Denver is coming around.
He's coming around.
Giving him enough chances, enough rope to hang himself.
Yeah, he knows, though.
And he's doing a good job.
He knows.
Let's take a little break.
Okay.
And then let's talk some Oshiega.
Yeah. And speaking
and
of tweets.
And let's talk some Motown.
Should
let's
give
talk
the Twitter,
some
Twitter names as well.
Twitter? Who
Twitter
has a Twitter,
handles.
A Twitter name?
Twitter handles, not names.
All right, Jay, what's your Twitter name
I
handle?
I don't know.
Okay, you
can at J-Pub Radio.
There you go. Yeah. Ben is at Shaka Brody, and I am at The Kaufman Show.
We like tweets.
We
They're
do.
Fun.
Tweets are cool.
Yeah.
You know what I like better than tweets?
What?
People.
Oh.
Callers.
I don't like people too much.
I know you don't.
Callers I like.
We get along well that way.
Yeah.
It balances out. Jay likes the virtual. I like the reality. This is The Kaufman Show, and this is Oshiega Hangover Edition. Hope you're all enjoying yourselves. I know I am. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Kaufman Show. My name is actually Dave Kaufman.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, supposedly. Oh. I'm getting other radio hosts at the station are getting tweets about our show right now. So you can reach me at The Kaufman Show.
Yeah.
And you can reach Matthew Ross tomorrow night on Game Points, I believe, at this time.
Sorry about that, Ross. Everybody's mad at Ross all of a sudden.
Matthew, go turn on your radio.
Yeah.
Actually, I do want to mention Matthew very briefly. Matt has taken up an initiative that I think is just fantastic. And I hope to see you all in Toronto on September 2nd in Section 240 at the Rogers Center. Blue Jays versus Tampa Bay.
I'm going.
You're coming.
I'm going.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I got friends in Toronto.
Yeah, you're gonna take the train down with
train
me and the rap superstar brother of yours?
No, I'm not taking a train.
All right.
A train.
Well, you're too cool for the train?
Yeah.
All right.
Train.
All right, you walk, I'll take the train.
I'm not gonna walk and take my car.
Pardon me.
Yeah.
All right.
Train.
All right, forget the train then. Can I get a ride?
Yeah. Right. No, take the train.
All right. Well,
take the train, Matthew.
Okay, well, let's reset that right now.
No, maybe I'll take the train.
Okay, well, we can debate.
It's good for the environment.
We're on for another 2 hours. We can just debate whether you should take the train or not.
Yeah, let's just think about that.
Get your tickets, and once you get your tickets, go to the Montreal Expos Facebook page. Confirm that you're coming. Let's get those numbers up. Let's get a lot of Expos fans there. This could be the second step towards getting a team back. Who knows? And if it isn't, it'll be a wonderful day with a bunch of Expos fans in Toronto.
Yeah, and cheer for the Blue Jays. Don't be jerks. Don't go out there like, well, like the Nordique fans did at Long Island, you know? You don't want to rub the hometown crowd the wrong way.
What if I'm a Rays fan?
Nobody's a Rays fan. Nobody.
I like Tampa Bay.
Nobody should be.
What if I'm a Vlad Guerrero fan?
Well, then you don't have a team to cheer for anymore.
Well, it could have been the Jays.
It could
they
have
dropped
sure,
the ball.
Sure, it could have been the Jays, but it wasn't. If Vladimir could pitch, he'd be on the Blue Jays right now. I think that's pretty much what it comes down to. Boy, yeah. that team, their injuries, so sad.
I know. Never seen anything like it.
We're actually joined in studio right now by two pretty big Toronto Blue Jays fans. You can follow them on Twitter. Nick Dyka from Arkells, Brad Ferguson, Canadian musical legend. You like that, eh, Brad?
That's a stretch.
Oh, well, I'd say you're one of the best front of house men in the whole country.
Oh, thank you.
You, Brad does sound and is the tour manager for Arkells. You also work with Cuff the Duke, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Great Lake Swimmers?
Great Lake Swimmers, yep. Just did a tour with them and Lights as well.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah. So, yeah. How you doing?
Good, man. How you doing?
I'm fantastic. Nick, how are you, sir?
I'm great. Thanks for having us.
It's a pleasure. It's great to have you guys in studio. It was fun to have you guys in our town this weekend. And, you know, I think I'm more tired than you guys from Oceaga.
We're used to this, though. We do this all summer long.
So. Oh, well, pardon me. How does Oceaga rank? And, like, full honesty here, nobody from Oceaga is listening. How does it rank compared to other summer festivals?
Well, there's definitely no festival like it in Ontario. And you guys can probably tell that because so many people from Ontario come to Montreal for the festival.
I don't know if anybody else noticed. It was like living in an English city this weekend. It was really weird. When anytime we were downtown anywhere, I don't know if you felt it as well, Jay.
Oh, I did. I did.
People calling it St. Viator Bagel and stuff.
I know.
It was crazy.
The pub was inundated with Ontarioans.
Ontarioans.
Ontarians, I guess.
Ontariario, yeah. Exactly.
Right.
And and you could see it even in during your set, during the Arkell set at the Trees stage on Saturday. Any reference to anything sort of Hamilton or Toronto specific, and you thought we were at the ACC or something. It was kind of crazy.
Yeah, that's always for us a good barometer of how many people from back home are in the crowd. Is when Max will say something that's uniquely Southern Ontarian, and people will respond. But it's an amazing. It's an amazing festival. There is nothing like it in Ontario. And it's amazing how much it's grown, too. Like, Dave, I know you told me on Sunday it's only 6 years old.
Yeah.
And for us to, the amount of bands that come, the amount of people that are there all weekend, I would have thought it's, a 30, 40-year-old festival.
Oh, wow. No, it's a very new initiative. And mad props to Nick Farkas and everybody at Evanco. And what I guess started back in the day as Gillette Entertainment Group, it is now Evanco, and they've put on this world-class festival, and it's really cool. I mean, not only Ontario, but I heard accents from all over the world over the last 3 days. And the quality of music, the array of bands, just unbelievable. I mean, that you can go from seeing, something electronic on one stage and something, some rock or some soul somewhere else, and then you know, Common's up on the big stage. Or,
yep.
I mean, I saw Snoop Dogg on Saturday night.
Snoop Lion.
Snoop Lion was Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
He was. He has a giant microphone that says Snoop Dogg on it.
Does
and,
he?
Yeah. And, oh. and it was, you know.
Because nobody would have known who he was. Otherwise.
He played one Snoop Lion song.
He did?
His hype.
How did that go over?
People were okay with it.
Okay.
He played so many.
We didn't get a Bob Dylan going electric type thing happening.
Nobody yelled
get booed off the system.
Nobody yelled Judas at him, no.
Okay.
That although if somebody had, we probably wouldn't have heard it.
No.
It was pretty loud and crazy. My only issue with Snoop was that he was 45 minutes late, but frankly,
there's never been a rapper that has ever shown up on time for any show ever. They usually get held up at the border. That's the problem.
I don't know if that. I'm sure he was in Montreal already and well in advance.
You think?
Would you know? I don't know. I'd like to think. Just going on a little side tangent here. I'd like to think that Snoop would know enough about Montreal to not be crossing the border with anything.
Okay.
That he would know that this is a town where fun is had, things go on, and there'd be no need to get yourself stuck at customs for many hours.
Are you saying he would have access to certain items which he might want here?
If you want to, sure, we can be even more specific if we yes. want, but I like dancing around it a little better. I think that's
it's more fun to elegant. Do that. Well, we could easily just say, yeah, he can find a dealer, no problem. But...
And you did.
Oh, sorry.
Arkells played a wonderful set. I was tweeting about it for most of the week. But you guys did a set at the Corona Theater. It was sort of, I guess they called it an Oceaga rap party, which didn't really make sense because there was a whole other day of Oceaga following it. But you guys did a Motown set.
We did. It's something we've been doing for a few years now. It kind of started the same way. It happened on Saturday night where we're at a festival where there's a lot of people there we know. You know, a lot of people from the music industry, a lot of friends. And, yeah, we just kind of weren't ready to call it a night at, you know, 11 when either, I think the first one we did was at, Canadian Music Week in Toronto. And so we kind of put together a set of Motown covers and, it's a lot of fun and we get to keep hanging out with our friends. So, that's kind of how it was born.
It was really cool the way that there was a kind of a revolving door of musicians that joined you guys on stage. Maya Davies from the Ladies of the Canyon was there, a famous Montreal band. The Sheepdogs were running around the stage all wild at one point. Yukon Blonde, who had opened up, a fantastic band.
It was kind of like an underground We Are the World. That's pretty cool.
Well, that would be the Canadian version. What's it called? Northern Lights?
Northern
Lights.
Do
they know it's Christmas?
No. That was the English one.
Oh, that was the English one. What was the Canadian? There was a Canadian one.
Yeah, the Canadian one was, oh, God.
Yeah, and by no means, we don't need to play it.
No, but God, please don't.
It's, boy, it's been a fun week, though. It's been a lot of music, a lot of culture, and we'll bring Ben in after the break, but it's been interesting. Ben Christensen.
Tears are not enough.
Tears are not enough. Yeah. Jay
I didn't
Farrar.
Even Google that.
I know you didn't.
I had the song going through my head, which will now be in my head for 3 days.
Don't you know that tears are not enough? Yes. Hopefully this will get into your head instead. This is, Arkells played this. This is The Stones.
Nice.
And some classic Motown on The Kaufman Show. We'll be right back. Good, I don't want to talk over it, but they still call this a sports station, so this is The Kaufman Show, and I'm Dave. Ross. No, Dave Kaufman here. Jay Farrar with me. We've got Brad Ferguson, Nick Dyka, and Ben Christensen in studio. Mark De La Posta on the board, kicking ass, ladies and gentlemen.
He's literally kicking ass.
Yes, and taking names.
Okay.
When people call, he takes their
name. He takes their name.
Yeah, and that's we good. Should probably...
it helps.
Before we go back to our bevy of in-studio guests, we do have a long-distance caller on the line.
Uh-oh.
So let's say hello to Travis out in Nashville, North Carolina. Good evening, Travis.
Hello, Jay, and Dave and all the people in studio.
Hello. How are you?
You know, I'm doing fine. I was watching some Olympics on NBC here, which could have happened anywhere from 6 to 18 hours ago.
Oh, cool, cool. Yeah, how'd you do yesterday?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
What's going on, Travis?
You know, I was going to talk about how, like, NBC has been kind of discussing this year, which isn't really new for them, but the soccer game kind of got me unhappy.
Well, I'm happy to hear that you can look outside of your passport and see the really bad game.
Well, technically I have the providence for either.
Well, that's
country.
True. And that's true. Yeah, you and Missy Franklin, yet you choose to live there.
Well, I would drown, though, so bad.
Well, you know, and I don't want to spend, like, my MO for the show tonight was not to sit here bashing NBC. You know, that's the channel of Tina Fey and of President Bartlett. And I do like that, you know, outside of Fear Factor, I'm a big NBC fan. But
they have some bad stuff, though.
Yeah, you know, and especially because we are, you know, we're CTV, TSN, we cover the game. So I feel like it's interesting to delineate the differences between the two. But I'm not trying to crap on NBC. And I understand this is all about money, okay? And I mean, we keep going back to this. Jay and I keep talking about this on air. The Olympics are about the bottom line. They're about advertisers. They're about sponsorships. And this time we've seen a bit of a revolt from the public. Now, let's cross our fingers that once Rio rolls around, or Sochi, we're going to see a lot more online coverage. We're going to see a lot more live streaming. We're going to see... Instead of tune into NBC, it's going to be tune into NBC.com. And I think we're going to have an online games like for real this time. We have to. It absolutely, I mean, and they have to figure out a way to monetize it properly. It may cost some money. I think it'll be worth it. I think people are clamoring to watch live sports on the internet.
Yeah, their thought process seems to be a little archaic, thinking that showing an event, you know, hours after it actually took place when anyone. Most people in North America have access to it live streaming on the internet is ridiculous that you would think people are too. I mean, what's your demographic? 75 and older? You know, people who haven't caught on to Twitter or anything like that? Get with it, NBC.
It wouldn't be 75 and older because they wouldn't be awake at night watching it.
Oh, you'd be surprised. They sleep like, you know, 18 minutes a night.
You'd think that they almost want to postpone showing it until sweeps week starts.
Maybe.
I don't know. And yet you can always debate as to whether it would be more effective showing it live and showing it complete. And then you could do a highlight package at the end of the night. Anybody that wants to know if Michael Phelps won the race is going to know before it's rebroadcast in prime time.
Right.
Anyone. I don't understand it at all. I don't know if Nick or Brad, if you guys, how you guys feel about it. But it's to me, I find it kind of surprising that the broadcast networks are so far behind the public on this right now.
You know, I think they could take a lot of cues from Major League Baseball, you know, like the professional organizations that have really made a really good product of their online, network. And, you know, they could really step up and maybe just, you know, hire the people who have really put together the great thing. I'm a subscriber to MLB.tv. It's great. I can watch any game I want. I can watch four games at once on my computer. It's an amazing service. And, you know, they really need to figure out a way to monetize it. You know, they can run advertising on an online stream. You know, it shouldn't be this difficult in this day and age, I wouldn't think.
Well, and I'm very happy that you brought up the MLB.tv because MLB has been so far ahead of the curve on this for, I think they've been doing it for about 5 years, and every year it gets better and better and better.
Absolutely. Yeah. I've been subscribing for 2 years now, and even last year to this year, it's infinitely better. It's great.
I find it surprising. And again, I think that it starts with the public, and people have shown how unhappy they are this time around. Hopefully we'll see a change. In the meantime, remember last week when we had Manny Act on?
Yes.
It's baseball, so it's a long season and a long roller coaster of emotions. And, you know, every day is a new day. We came from a very good series where we played so well against Detroit, and then we went into Minnesota, and they just beat us up pretty bad. So the day off came at a good time, and hopefully we can come out tomorrow and start winning again.
Well, they lost that game, Jay. And unfortunately, they've
and
lost
many since then.
They've lost every game since then.
Wow.
If it's, the score is still up on your computer,
12-1
for the Minnesota Twins.
Bottom of four.
Oh, this is bad news. I feel very bad for our friend Manny Acta.
And, he's such a nice guy, too.
You know,
he really is.
A wonderful guy, and it's great that he gave us some time last week in halfway through their 10-game losing streak. And, you know, I'd like to think that he still has the same frame of mind that he had when we spoke with him.
If you're not humble, you're going to get humbled by somebody else. And you just got to get back up again. It's a long season. You got to show up every day with the same face, keep the positive attitude, and not allow guys to get too down on themselves and basically make them understand that, hey, we're going to get back up again. Just keep grinding it out.
Unfortunately, this is it for the Indians. They're out of the race now. There's no turning around from a 10-game losing streak in August.
Mm.
And I guess that's to the benefit of Ben Christensen's Oakland Athletics.
Who seems to have won every single game since he threw out the first ball.
Pretty much. They just split a series with the Toronto Blue Jays.
Right.
Which, including two 15-inning games, I think. And it's been a very interesting week for me, I have to say. First of all, I'm used to living alone. I quite enjoy it. It's very nice.
Uh-huh.
I've had Ben staying with me for the last
week. And now you enjoy it even more, living alone.
I can't wait. but it's been really interesting living with a diehard baseball fan. Because it's something that's been so off my radar for the last, 8 years.
Right.
But watching somebody live and die on every pitch. And, there are little things that I fully remember from being an Expos fan. On Friday night, we all went downtown and Ben said, "Oh, do you mind if we watch the end of the inning before we go?" Three outs happen. I think, cool. All right, let's go. I turn off the TV. Ben's like, "Well, what about the bottom half of the inning?" And, I remember being like that when it was the Expos. Yeah. And I, watching the highs and lows that Ben Christensen, Shaka Brody on Twitter, has gone through in the last week, just as the A's, and they're in the playoffs right now. If the season ended today, they would be in the wild card. That's a hell of a feeling. But yet when they lose, you don't see, I haven't gotten that upset about a loss or a win in baseball in 8 years. And it's been really interesting to see it happen live on my couch.
Right.
So it's been a pleasure to have Ben. And needless to say, it's allowed me to cheer for the A's a little bit.
Well, I like that he's cheering for Canadian teams, too. You know, if you want a citizenship, bud, I'm sure Kaufman will marry you. Seems to enjoy your company at the house.
Jay, only if he shaves, okay?
Oh, okay. Don't like the rash, huh?
I can't imagine nuzzling up to that beard. It's just massive. How many? Well, it was 15 people yesterday came up to Ben at Oceaga thinking he was Brian Wilson. 15. It kept happening.
Jerry Garcia lives.
The fact that he was wearing a Brian Wilson jersey and a Giants hat probably didn't hurt it.
But, yeah.
It's okay. At least they didn't think he was Snoop Dogg. This is the Kaufman Show. We'll be back. I can't sit still. Everybody at this party's got their fingers in the till. I bet their parents are ridiculously loaded. Surprise if you could find it with those eyes. Welcome back to the Kauffman Show. Fenway Park, it's not like they keep it hid. Well, I hope not, because we're going there tomorrow. Everybody but Jay Farrar. And I gave you every opportunity.
You know, thinking about it, I probably could have gone.
Ah.
But plans changed at work, so I...
Next time?
Next time, I promise I'll go.
Good.
Absolutely.
I'm very excited to head down to Fenway Park tomorrow with Ben Christensen, Nick Dyka, and Brad Ferguson. I think we are going to have an excellent time. I can't think of three bigger, better baseball fans to go down there with.
Agreed.
Yeah, I think it'll be fun. Aline, get right in there. Get right next to Jay.
No, I mean,
pretend you love him.
I've been looking forward to this for a long time. I mean, my mom's a diehard Red Sox fan. I remember '86, the first game I ever watched against the Mets in the World Series Game 6. And I mean, I was raised Mormon, and hearing her say "God damn it" when Gary Carter started the rally.
Wow.
It's still embedded in my memory. And so
in that case, I just want to apologize for all the blasphemy this week.
I had no idea. But even with that, the historical value that comes with the stadium, and especially with the team, even though I'm not a Red Sox fan, but there is the fact that a city still loves their team more than anything. And I'm completely looking forward to it.
Nick, Brad?
Yeah, I think Ben kind of put it pretty concisely when he said there's you know, very few cities, and I'd say Montreal with the Habs is one of them, but there's, you know, certain kind of quintessential teams and cities that are just so tied together that they're, you know, you can't imagine them any other way. You can't imagine it any other way, and I think it's going to be really exciting to be there when there's a game on and be able to take everything in that, you know, is Boston, essentially.
Because you've been there, Nick, but not during a game, right?
You've
taken the tour?
Yeah, we played there in, I guess it was mid-May, and we were playing at the House of Blues, which is right across the road from Fenway. So we took the tour. We went through the clubhouses, but unfortunately there was no game. So, I'm really looking forward to it. And I think I speak for Brad when I say this is an interdivisional game for us, so we still can't root for the Red Sox.
Well, I can't imagine you guys rooting for the Red Sox. You guys are both dyed-in-the-wool Blue Jays fans.
Oh, yeah, we can never cheer for Boston or New York. It's just a rule. It's almost hard to cheer for Tampa, but I love Tampa because they beat up on the Red Sox and the Yankees so much that I learned to love them too. So
for me, it's I'm not a Red Sox fan. As anybody who knows me, I'm a baseball fan. I'm still looking for a team. If anybody knows one, hit me up. Can email me, savetheexpos@hotmail.com. I think you know we're in trouble if I'm still rocking the Save the Expos email. But for me, Fenway Park's all about the history of baseball. And Ben and I took a trip last week. We went to Cooperstown, which is kind of a fabricated history of baseball. You know, it's not really the town where baseball was invented. It'd be weird to have it in the town where baseball was invented because who would go to England to see the Baseball Hall of Fame? But there's something very magical about being in Fenway Park, about being somewhere that has been hosting baseball since the week that the Titanic sunk. And I really look forward to going out there with you guys tomorrow and hopefully pointing out a couple of cool things that I've seen along the way there and getting down to the Baseball Tavern and maybe over to the Cask and Flagon. And I can't wait to see. You know what? I'm looking forward to walking the streets in the States with you, Ben Christensen.
Yeah, watch my swagger.
Yeah, I want to see because I mean Ben is featured prominently on a couple of different baseball commercials that air on the MLB Network and on ESPN in the States. Mm-hmm. So here he can, you know, just be the dude with the beard and the tattoos, but down there he's known as the baseball guy.
Yeah.
So it'll be very interesting to see.
Agreed. Well, I mean, especially I'm going to be wearing Red Sox gear tomorrow, so I apologize to you guys. But, I mean, it's only on the basis that they're playing the Rangers, so it helps the A's out if the Red Sox just hammer the Rangers to death.
Well, you see, that's debatable. Because, because if the Rangers beat the Red Sox, you're also in competition with the Red Sox if they turned around and got hot.
See,
the Rangers have to win could win the division, and then the A's are trying to lock up the wild card spot.
We're trying to win the West is what we're trying to do.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah, exactly. It's all about winning. It's not necessarily about just making the playoffs. It's about winning. And, I mean, our goal has been to win the West. Making the wild card spot would be great, but I want to win the West.
Before the season started, did either of YouTube Toronto Blue Jays fans have expectations of a wild card spot?
I thought we could compete for the second wild card, at least, or make it interesting, at least. I thought we'd be playing interesting baseball in September for the first time in I don't know, 15 years. But those hopes quickly faded.
You ever see injuries? Have you ever seen a Blue Jays team decimated by injuries? For me, it reminds me of the Habs of a couple of years ago.
I can't think of a Jays team that's ever been this decimated by injuries, ever.
And yet, they're still only 5 games out of the wild card.
Yeah, you know, that's the interesting thing with the second wild card slot. It really gives a lot of teams hope that they probably wouldn't have at this time of year. So, you know, it might be a good thing for baseball for these teams that, you know, normally have to scrap it out just to, you know, come in second or even third in their division like the Jays often do. But it's, you know, it at least gives us a little bit more meaningful baseball down the road in the season.
Now, Nick, you guys have done some stuff with the Blue Jays with Arkells, right? They've used your music and things like that?
Yep, they've used our music for one of their commercials last year. They invited us to the TD Comfort Zone one day.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I'm constantly petitioning them to have me involved in baseball operations decisions and to play center field, but they've declined both offers. So,
too bad you're not a pitcher.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly. Back to the Guerrero thing from before.
How about doing a remake of OK Blue Jays?
Yeah.
You know? With a little alternative kick to it. You know, I think that would be very interesting.
I thought about that. And there was a little bit of a Twitter campaign, I think, last year when the new record came out to make Kiss Cam the official Kiss Cam song for the Jays. So.
Oh, wow. Well, that would be kind of cool. There are a lot of sort of sports themed songs amongst your band's catalog, which I think is kind of interesting. We played something before called Michigan Left off that same titled album where Curtis Granderson gets referenced. There's a song named after Gilbert Arenas. It's obvious that the mix of rock and roll and sports runs deep with you guys.
Right. And, you know, sports is a big part of the social fabric that we're involved in, and you know, when we're trying to tell different stories, it often is a part of that. You know, like the Curtis Granderson example, like, you know, when Curtis Granderson got traded, like, I was disappointed he was leaving the Tigers, but I also just thought, wow, this is just so symbolic of poor Detroit and all the, you know, the kind of down on their luck, kind of not so great things that are going on, you know, before Curtis Granderson was there.
Right, and before Prince Fielder signed for $1 billion.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
This is the Kaufman Show. We're going out on some garbage. Wow, was this 1994? Oh, right, they played Oceaga this weekend.
Okay, Blue Jays, do it, guys. I smell third Juno.
This is the Kaufman Show. We've got Jay Farrar in studio, as always. Ben Christensen joining us for his last week before he heads back to the États-Unis d'Amérique. And we've got Brad Ferguson and Nick Dyka from Arkells in studio. This is The Kaufman Show. We'll be back. Kaufman Show on a ripping Joel Plaskett solo. We'll send this next segment out to judoka Nick Del Popolo.
Who?
Judoka Nick Del Popolo. He, you know, it happens to the best of us, Jay. He unintentionally ate a brownie with marijuana in it. You know when you're hanging out at the park and that dude with the long hair and the John Lennon-esque glasses comes up to you and he's like, "Hey man, want a brownie?" And there's that thing in the back of your mind that's going, well, wait, I got to go to the Olympics in a month. Is this a good idea? I don't know this person. Mom and Dad always told me not to take food from strangers, you know, but it's a brownie. I mean, it's got to be delicious.
I need to have that brownie immediately.
Shouldn't you not be eating brownies if you're going to the Olympics?
No, I think you're allowed to treat yourself, as as they would say in Parks and Rec.
And he certainly treated himself.
Well, and he screwed himself. I don't know if he's going to be able to get away with it, and he's not. He was sent home. The Ross Rebeliati got away with it.
Yeah.
God bless him.
God bless
him. Remember when he ran for office?
Did he?
Yeah, he ran as a member of he ran to be a liberal member of parliament for Whistler. Obviously not a conservative.
That's the part where he said that he didn't inhale.
That's right, and obviously Whistler.
Right. Of course, Whistler. Well, he should have won, I guess.
Although he would have done okay in the plateau, too.
Yeah.
But Nick Del Popolo from Westfield, New Jersey, says his positive test was caused by my inadvertent consumption of food that I did not realize had been baked with marijuana. I'm sorry, I can't even say it with a straight face.
How do you not realize that? It's like your urge for that brownie is so strong that even if you have the slightest suspicion that there's some weed in there, you're like, I don't care, dude. That brownie is going into the lowest hole in my head, and I'm going to enjoy it.
I just made a tray of weed brownies. But, Nick, don't worry. I know you're going to London, so that one in the corner, that one's for you.
That one's for you.
Yeah. We put a smiley face on it. With very small eyes. So, obviously, you've got to imagine that pot doesn't make you a better judoka.
No, well, I mean, it doesn't make you any worse either, you know.
Right. So is this kind of like when Silk and Lauman by mistake ingested the Sudafed and then there was a whole issue? And I think it was, oh, no, she wasn't allowed to compete. This happens, but I always laugh when it happens for pot.
See, I don't know what's more stupid is that rule or that the dude ate brownies with weed in them. Right. Like, I don't know what's more stupid, right. You know? I'm trying to figure it out, you know?
Well, I think it's a little bit
I'd like to defend the guy, but at the same time, you know it's a rule, and, I mean, you're stupid, so I'm not going to defend you, you know? It's very simple for me.
Del Popolo was born Petra Perovic in the former Yugoslavia and was adopted by an American family. Before the Games, he said in his official Olympic biography that he found training for London to be intense and would like to return to study. I also would like to try and get a job wherever. It wouldn't matter to me, he said on the website.
Sounds like a pothead to me.
I know. These two things would be a change of pace from the always train life that I live now. Don't get me wrong. I'd still practice, train, and compete judo, but not as intense or as much as I am now. But in 2014, I'd start preparing for the 2016 games again.
Yeah. It's funny that it'd be...
I'm sorry. That's amazing.
I know.
Like, obviously this guy had weed brownies. Now it doesn't... I don't seem so surprised anymore.
It's weird coming from a judo guy, too.
Why?
Well, judo is very intense. And I guess after a judo match, you need to settle back a little bit.
Well, maybe a little doobie post judo battle makes the cauliflower ears feel a little
better.
It is
so tough. Judo is so tough. It is exasperating. It's exhausting work. And you could see it, too, you know, watching it. And they're just completely winded. After even just one sequence, you know, so you really have to be in shape to do that.
That's how you cut such a trim figure, right?
That's exactly. Wow, Kaufman. Wow. All right. I'm going to show you some judo afterwards.
Jay,
actually,
this is radio. For all we know, you're Adonis over here. You could have played that up.
Yeah.
let's go to the phones. We've got Mark in St. Anne of Bellevue. He wants to talk baseball and brownies, two of our favorite things. Hi, Mark.
How you doing, David? It's Mark Malone.
Hey, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing all right. After a rough day in the girls' soccer and all that, and, it's just sort of like the Expos, we shafted or whatever.
But, it was a rough 30 seconds, and I think that anybody watching, at least from the own goal, which was, I think, around the 60th minute, knew which way that game was going to end. And it was so unfortunate, but Canada played with the deck stacked against them the entire game, and... I'm incredibly proud of what I saw. Canada in the previous 26 games versus the U.S. had gone 0-22-4.
Yeah.
And as far as I was concerned, Canada was the better team on the pitch today.
Yeah, but, you know, sort of like gymnastics used to be and things with judging, it seems like we got the short end of the stick. I mean, How much soccer have you played? I know you've played some ball, but have you played any soccer at all?
Very, very little.
All right. Well, yeah. I started late. I was like 12. A buddy of mine needed a couple players because they were going to default, you know, people going on vacation and stuff. And the first or second thing maybe I've learned was, you know, lining up for a free kick. And because we have gonads, us guys, we'd handle our privates, and, you know, our arms would be at our side. Now, girls don't have that. So when they line up for that free kick...
What?
You know, their arms, what?
Well, I'm pretty sure that they still have to protect themselves.
Yeah, they do, exactly. And the girl, I think, purposely kicked somewhere around the waist or a little higher, and maybe a girl would turn around and it would inadvertently hit her arm. That's what happened, isn't
that
it?
It went off, you know what, Mark? It went off two arms. It went off one player's arm and then went off another player's arm.
But
the point of the story, though, is that it never should have been a free kick from that spot in the first place.
Yeah, I know.
Everything seemed like it was just systematically building towards an American win.
And who were the referees? Do we know the nationalities?
Norwegian.
The line judges?
Norwegian.
Okay.
Yeah, so no allegiance anywhere, right? This is the home of the Nobel Prize. We'd like to think that the Norwegians are on the up and up.
Aren't we fighting over the Arctic?
Oh, yeah, that's right. We have sovereignty issues with the Norwegians. Wow.
This is a big deal.
Let's move on. Now we're going to play France for a bronze medal, right?
Yes.
How do you feel about that?
I feel like I hope the team can overcome the issues that they had to deal with today, which I know would be very difficult to feel like... like you got hosed, and then to turn around and give it your all. But I'm proud of a bronze medal, and frankly,
yeah, that would be very, very much as well.
You know, Mark, 40 years ago was the arguably the biggest hose job in the history of the Olympics, which was the U.S.-Russia basketball final.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to see that 40 years later, not much has changed.
Yeah.
So I'm very curious, as a gentleman who worked at a high school that I attended.
Yeah.
You want to talk about brownies?
Well, like just like the guy said, I was like just passed on. What? You know, where was he? Was he expecting this? Was it a bro party? I mean, shouldn't he have not been there if he realized that this kind of thing was going on and said, hey, I've got some Olympics coming up soon. Maybe I shouldn't be here, you know?
I feel bad for the guy. I mean...
It's really, really silly. I mean, this is as silly as an excuse as I've ever heard.
Well... pretty much. I, by mistake, ate dessert. You know, at least Reb Liadi had the common sense to say, oh, well, I was in a room and somebody lit a joint and the, you know.
Secondhand smoke.
Even that. Just say it.
Brownie, I mean, you smell it. The whole place should smell. He should have known it. If he didn't, what was he doing there? And if he did, why did he consume it?
Mark, thank you so much for the call. And please keep in touch.
Will do. Take care, Devin.
All the best.
I would be just like, you got me. All right. Yeah, I had a little hit of the hippie lettuce. What do you want me to do? I'm human. All right. Well, it was a good party.
I
would have more respect for him.
From those quotes, it doesn't seem like he cares that much about what he's doing.
About judo?
About judo.
Okay.
To say in your Olympic biography that I'd like to get try and get a job wherever, it wouldn't matter to me. This would be a good change of pace from the always train life that I live now. Don't get me wrong. I'd still practice, train, and compete judo, but not as intense or as much as I am now. That sounds like somebody who doesn't... That is the opposite of everything we hear about Canadian athletes.
Yeah, but at the same time, I mean, how many jobs are there in the judo industry? I mean, it's not exactly a
burgeoning industry?
Yeah, there's not a lot of opportunities, I don't think, that present themselves.
It was very interesting last hour to have Nicholas Makrizanaris in studio and talk about just what these athletes go through from the Canadian perspective. I would imagine that Nick Del Popolo hasn't slept on too many monastery floors in the middle of tournaments. Or, well, you see, he only gets arrested
sounds
after.
Like he's, sounds like he slept on he slept on a few floors in his time, but maybe not in a monastery.
Maybe park benches or something right. like that. I don't know. But, you can't imagine that he would face what Makrizanaris faced.
No.
And there's a certain, and again, maybe it's not fair to look at this quote. And maybe if I'd read this quote before hearing that he'd got busted and sent home from the games, I wouldn't think of it that way. But I look at this quote now and I think you're lazy and you blew it. And that sucks. And I'd like to think that if, and a great example would be you, Nick. And I know in the rock and roll industry, the drug testing is just stringent. You guys go straight off stage and have doping control for hours after your shows. And, you know, that's what you do because you know it's part of the job.
Oh, that's right. We have we have teams in every city providing us with urine. And that's actually how we met. Dave and I. We were in Montreal.
Watch it there, Deka.
Whoa. You accidentally baked Dave a brownie or something? Is that what happened?
No. We needed some clean urine for after our show. And,
you asked Dave?
This is the Kaufman Show. I'm going to go to the washroom. We'll be right back. We'll send that one out to Snoop Lion, even though it's Finley Quay. This is the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman, Jay Farrar. We got a full house tonight. Ben Christensen sitting next to Jay. Nick Dyka and Brad Ferguson sharing the other mic. Mark, we're the lucky ones. We've got our own mics tonight.
I feel special.
You should.
Elitists.
Elitists?
Yeah.
Well, that's okay. We're not the 1% like Nicholas Makrizanaris. That's the 1% I can get behind.
Yeah.
That was some cool stuff. I encourage you all. It's up on the podcast site right now, thekaufmanshow.podbean.com. That's where you can find all of our archives dating back to last year. Lots of good stuff on there, but it will give you some perspective as we watch tape delay in studio of what I can only explain as Mike Tyson's punch out come to life.
Look at the size of these guys.
What was his name? Mac, right?
Mac.
Little Mac.
Little Mac.
Little Mac. The Canadian looks like Lil Mac, and he's facing I don't even think that's a real person.
Yeah.
The boxer from Kazakhstan, who looks like he's 7'6", 930 pounds.
Wow.
Not quite, but yes, Canada looks very much overmatched in this. And once again...
God, look at the size of the guy. I can't believe it.
Unfortunately, this is radio, so we we've been told we're not allowed to do play by play or bring up the audio of any sort.
No.
I was going to bring you up. I was going to break the rules and play you guys some of the soccer game today, but we can just recreate it ourselves if we want.
All right. But now back to you, Dave.
I was thinking more like halfback. Passes to center.
Yeah.
Holds it. It was the most exciting soccer match I've ever seen.
It's up there. It was something else. I was sitting there and I said, okay, I'm going to tune in. You know, I like soccer. Again, please, nobody call me and yell at me. I enjoy soccer.
We're 20 minutes away from speaking with Andrew Wenger from the Montreal Impact.
Nice.
So you can tell him how much you like soccer,
too. I enjoy soccer. I am not fond of the culture of soccer, but I do enjoy the game itself.
And I look forward to seeing the development of the Montreal soccer culture and how much of an influence Montreal's hockey culture takes upon it. I really hope that the product grows in this town. I want it desperately to succeed.
Yes,
I really do. I think it's so important for so many reasons, including... And don't kid yourself, people. Montreal will never get a baseball team back if this soccer team doesn't succeed. I think that there's a direct correlation between the two. go and support and show that you can support professional sports in this town. I beg you. It's so important. And it's something that Montreal doesn't do enough of. And do it when it's not just $20 tickets and dollar hot dogs. Go. Because the product is good. The product is fun. It's easy to get there. I don't care what my co-host Jay Farrar says.
It is easy to get there.
I don't care what my co-host Jay Farrar says. You can find somewhere to have a beer around there. I know that's important to a lot of you. No, you can't?
You can't. You can't.
All right. I'm sure you can.
Where?
I know that the ultras all meet up at the that bar on Hochelaga.
They're ultras. Talk about the casual fan. Where is he going to go?
You're 10 minutes from Jean Talon.
Still 10 minutes. Not
walking
distance. Oh,
wait. Let's go back to remember the guy who called and said you're a 5-minute Bixie ride from Saint Denis and Rachel?
Okay. Yeah. A 5-minute Bixie ride.
All right. You know what, Jay?
What?
You once bought me a flask.
I did.
So people can be imaginative.
Are you encouraging
people to
bring in their own alcohol into
the
stadium?
Are you encouraging people to bring brownies to the game? That's insane.
No.
Jay. Come on.
No.
That's not going to work. They're going to kick the whole crowd out.
No, actually, they'll probably be calm. There won't be any flares going off and fights. And in fact, I think every soccer fan should have a special brownie before a game.
I'll tell you what I want the Impact to do, and this is something that I think is really important. The Just for Last Festival did a wonderful job this year. They created something called the Souk, which was a market, a food market, S-O-U-K, Souk.
Okay.
And I think it's a term for an Arabic food market.
Ah.
So if we're hanging out in Casablanca, trying to stay away from the brownies, of course, we would go to the souk and grab some lunch. It was basically a corridor of food trucks. Now, I know there's some issues with food trucks in the city, and they're starting to come in, which is great. I think that the Impact should fill up the area around the stadium with food trucks and get people out there and eating those amazing Grumman tacos and all the rest of the awesome stuff that you're able to get.
Which proves my point, that nobody wants to go around to a place where there are no restaurants and bars.
Yes, make it more friendly. Make it more accessible. People are clamoring to do stuff in the summertime in this town. People want to be outside.
Right.
I've seen it. There were 100,000+ people at Jean Leloup at the Just for Last Festival last week. It was incredible. I would have stayed if I hadn't been going to the Muppets Gala.
Oh, yeah.
You know, priorities.
Yeah,
got our priorities straight.
Can't miss the Muppets. What?
Sometimes I just like leaving that extra second of dead air and seeing how you react.
Well, no, I like the Muppets.
Well, I know you're more of a Fraggle Rock kind of guy, and I respect you.
I am.
You
I'm a Jim Henson guy. After he died, the whole franchise died for me.
Well.
Yeah.
Ever the optimist.
Yeah. Disney took over. They're all corporate sellouts now. No edge.
Jay, what do you like?
Nothing. Good. No, I like many, many things.
Do you?
Yes.
You want to share?
Okay. Well, no. No, I like a lot of things. I really do.
Good.
I'm not being negative. I just, you know, I like to point out two sides of every issue.
No, I can't sit here and say to everybody, go down to the Olympic Stadium and watch soccer. There's tons of restaurants and bars. And I mean, who am I kidding, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's worth the drive. I think it's worth the metro trip. And
I never said anything about the distance. We have to make that clear because people misconstrue what I'm saying.
No, but it's not just you, Jay. It's a lot of people.
Yeah.
And a lot of people talk about how the Big O is too far. And
They're lazy. They're lazy bastards, and they're sitting. They just don't want to do it. You know,
hear that? Everybody that doesn't go to a game, my co-host just called you a lazy bastard
for the reason of because of the travel time. Yes, because I got friends in the West Island, and they won't come down to see me at the pub. I don't want to go downtown. Oh, well, stop it. I don't want to go downtown. I want to stay in Beaconsfield.
Are these the same people that don't actually go downtown but complain about going downtown because it's full of violent protests?
Yes. Yes.
I love them.
Lazy bastards. Wusses.
I know it's not very sporty, but there is an election coming up.
Yeah, who cares?
That should be fine.
I don't vote, so I don't care.
You don't vote?
No.
Really?
Let's not start this.
Why would you vote, right? I mean, that's ridiculous.
I don't vote.
No, of course you don't.
No. Why would I vote?
It's only a major tenet of a democratic society.
That's right.
Other than that,
no, Mark, first of all, I love you. I'm so happy you're here, and that's awesome. It's awesome to have somebody on my side in one of these arguments. It's fantastic. But if Jay voted, then he wouldn't be able to bitch as much as he bitches.
Doesn't it give you the right to?
Heath looks at it, I think, from another point of view.
Yeah.
Is that if he's not involved in it, then he can just complain about everybody.
Well, of course, I didn't vote.
Well, then
it's
you
not
should...
my fault that they're in power. It's your fault.
Jay, as long as you're paying your taxes, I don't think they care if you vote.
Exactly. Listen, I pay my taxes, therefore I have the right not to vote. It's a democratic society.
Yes.
You also have the option to show up and abstain from voting. Click on the box that says, I don't vote for anyone. Because that shows you care, but you're dissatisfied.
When it shows
you're lazy.
When it comes to that, I'm a West Islander. I just don't want to travel.
Is that what it comes down to?
Well, if I mess up my ballot, what do you think? Somebody's going to look at it and say, oh, my God, he messed up his ballot. He must care about something. No, they're not. They're going to say, oh, messed up ballot. Somebody's a retard, and they throw it away.
No, they're going to say messed up ballot, and both sides, if there were two sides, or all three sides, if there are three sides, are going to be like, no, he was trying to do us. And no, he was trying to vote for us. You see the
squiggly
line
there? Yeah, they
might
do that, too. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's quickly
no point.
That means he loves Canada. No, it means he hates Canada.
When somebody comes along who I feel is worth voting for, I will.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll let you know when I run for office.
Until that time, I won't.
I will let you know when I announce my candidacy.
Okay, maybe I'll vote for you.
As my co-host, I think you have the first dibs to be the campaign manager, too.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what you want. Me as your campaign manager.
This could be like Bulworth. We'll finally tell the truth.
Kind of, yeah.
The ghetto superstar. We'll get Anakin to do the new version of it.
Yeah, that's right. Get the Arkells to do it. I'm sure they'd be on board.
Oh, they've got enough on their hands. Right. Come on. But now you guys do covers occasionally, Nick. I was shocked at the Motown night to see you guys cover That Thing You Do.
Oh,
the Wonders or the Oneaters, if you will.
We did. We pulled that out. We learned it on our American tour that went from April till June, and we just try to keep a kind of a rotating cover in the set as much as possible, just to change things up, to, you know, give people who maybe don't know us, you know, hear us play a song that they might have heard. And it started, Mike watched the movie and just mentioned, he said, hey, this is a really good song. And so we started talking about it. It was written by Fountains of Wayne.
Oh, really?
Yeah. For the movie. And we just thought, hey, you know, this might be fun. It's a little different than most of the covers we've done Boss. We've done a lot of Motown stuff. Recently we did Hall & Oates. So we thought that this would be a fun, different thing to do. So, we're taking requests for the next cover. If you guys have any, suggestions.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Blue Jays.
Jay's really firm on this one. Yeah. Hey, you really hate that song.
No, I like the song.
You like the,
it just needs to be updated a little bit. That's all.
I feel like they've updated it once.
Did they?
Yeah. I can picture two different versions of that song in my head. I'm not a fan of that song.
No?
I think that the seventh inning stretch should be reserved for Take Me Out to the Ball Game.
Yeah.
Traditionalist. Ben, you were just in Toronto, and I guess that was your first experience to hearing that song, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I was completely flabbergasted as to what was going on. I would just stick with Take Me Out to the Ball Game, to be honest.
It's the hand gestures that I find weird.
Yeah, there was.
There's like a whole Macarena-ish dance to it.
Yeah, that's the best way to describe it.
It's kind of creepy. It's like some kind of cult.
Please, would someone please rattle off the lyrics for me? Because they're just ridiculous.
Oh, the chorus is, okay, Blue Jays, let's play ball.
Right.
It's like a call and response.
There's reverb.
Oh, lots of, yeah. But there's a verse, and it's awful.
Yeah, it's like we've got a hat and a bat, and that's not all, right?
Yeah, a glove and a ball.
Can't be worse than the Expos song. Remember?
Oh,
Come see the Expos play. Come to the stadium. Come join the crowd and have some fun. Doesn't even rhyme. It's like, it's awful. It was translated from the French and very poorly.
I only know.
You don't remember that?
I only know the melody.
Ah.
I don't know the, the lyrics.
They did commercials for it, and they essentially took the melody and added lyrics, extremely poor lyrics.
Oh,
I mean,
it was
very bad.
I remember an Expos Coca-Cola song that was sort of sung to the Always Coca-Cola jingle, and it was in French. I believe that Joe Jammer wrote it.
Okay.
Joe Jammer, who's a local blues musician, I think it's Joe Jammer and Jim Zeller.
Okay.
Who are, I've seen them, they've been in studio on Mitch's show before. Big time Montreal blues band. And Joe used to work for the grounds crew at the Big O. And he wrote, I believe he wrote the, and again, I think it was always 790-0990. Anybody can anybody help me out. And if you sing it, we'll come up with a prize for you.
Will we?
Yes, yeah. Brad, Nick, yes.
Yeah, if ever since this subject of bad team songs has come up, me and Brad have just been chomping at the bit to, I don't know if you guys have heard, the then Florida Marlins.
Oh, man.
Oh, see, Ben knows. Ben's American.
Or say who it's by, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
Jump into the mic, Ben, when you talk. You sound really far away.
It's a Scott Stapp song, isn't it?
Marlins will soar, which is confusing because Marlins can't soar.
We really need to pull YouTube up for this one. It is amazing.
I have a feeling Mark is on it right now. If you can find us the Florida Marlins song that you can only picture that Jeffrey Loria had commissioned, probably sat in a room one day, held a gun to Gloria Stefan's head and said, "Right."
Yeah, I just broke my microphone.
Oh, that's okay.
I think Ben did it. He's so upset about the song.
Yeah. Well,
is that song as bad as their uniforms or
the new ones or the old ones?
It is worse than this new stadium, I'd say.
Wow. So they not only do they have to dress like McDonald's employees, but they have to do McDonald's jingles too during the game in order to. Wow.
Yeah.
Do I look weird right now holding this microphone?
No, I think you're...
Bolt came right out.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you know what? I was going to say if only you could see it, ladies and gentlemen, but go to the Kaufman Show on Twitter. I'm going to send out a picture right now of my lovely co-host with his handheld microphone. You're listening to TSN 990, where everything works here.
Yes.
As I remember once hearing on this station, everything works here.
Oh, boy.
You all right, Jay?
Yeah, it's heavy.
All right, we're gonna take a little break, and this one goes out to all the fine people in South Florida.
Let's play ball, it's game day. We want strikeouts, base hits, double plays. Take the field, hear the roar on the crowd.
Jay, so this is where the guy from Creed went.
Yeah, I was wondering.
Mark, our producer, just asked if we wanted to play the entire song. I said, how much longer? He said, a minute. I said, no, I think we'll go back in. We really like our audience. We appreciate that you guys listen to us. And I try to play you guys some good music. I don't want to put you through too much of this.
Yeah.
Marlins soar. Wow.
Flying fish.
Ladies and gentlemen, your Florida Marlins.
Playing here's here to Harry.
They soar as they tank.
Stop, please, Jay, stop.
Well, that's what it sounds like.
You've sang so much tonight.
Yeah. I have never looked stupider in my life right now. I'm just here holding a broken microphone. This is awesome.
We're going to take a little break and fix the many technical issues we're dealing with in studio right
now.
We'll
show you why I don't vote.
This is the Kaufman Show. Dave Kaufman and the ever on his game, Jay Farrar.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Kaufman Show, coming in on a little Tame Impala. Played the main stage at Oceaga yesterday. Fantastic weekend. I cannot stress again what a great job. Everything was just the ease of flow at that concert. You know, you wanted water, you could find water. You wanted food, you could find food. It was very, everything was very navigable. They did a great job with it this year.
The water didn't cost $7 a bottle like it did at Woodstock 99?
Probably, you'd think with inflation it would have been even more than that, but right. No, there you go. Ben's saying it was $4 a bottle, but then he held on to the
bottle. Still highway robbery.
Well, there were fill-up stations everywhere.
Oh, that's nice. Well, that's good. Well, that's probably why they didn't blow anything up after Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Blow anything? What are you talking about?
Well, there was a huge riot at Woodstock 99.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm still on Oceaga this weekend.
No, sorry.
Sorry, let's go back 13 years. What happened at Woodstock 99?
Jeez.
I know the Hip played. They were awesome.
They were great.
I watched that scrambled, pay-per-view scrambled. Mm.
I was there. I was right up front.
Because I had a lot of money back then.
Yeah, there was a line of Canadian fans which wouldn't let any Americans through to the front. We had to show our healthcare cards in order to get through. They're from Montreal. Let them through. It's okay. There's a line. It was great. Nobody, the Canadians were not letting the Americans get anywhere near the stage.
It's the only good your Medicare card will ever do you in America.
Yeah, pretty much.
Nick, do you guys get a lot of Canadian fans when you go to the States? Like, do you get that flag-waving stuff that you see at hip shows?
No, we're not there yet. But we will get
two Junos, man. Come on.
Oh, they've long since been smelted down. But,
my goodness.
Yeah.
One of them was only in April. I find that hard to believe.
Yeah, no, I'm kidding. But no, we don't get that. But we do get, there is a weird subculture that listens to CBC Radio 3. And maybe once every five shows when we're in the U.S., we'll get somebody who comes up to us and says, you know, hey, I'm from Louisville, Kentucky, and I love CBC Radio 3. And then they'll start talking to us about Said the Whale and Dan Mangan and all these other, you know, really great Canadian bands. And we're thinking, wow, you know, this is really cool, but kind of strange.
Dan Mangan is somebody that I wanted to see yesterday. And, well, it was 2 o'clock and it was pouring rain and I was heading there. So I missed him.
You had your umbrella. And,
I brought an umbrella.
Yeah, I know.
And heard a bunch of people behind me saying, who brings an umbrella to a concert?
That's right.
Oh, they were
soaked.
It
was me. I was there, Kaufman.
I thought so. That explained why when I called you, we had no signal.
I have this weird thing that, you know, I tweeted it once. There's something about people who carry an umbrella when it's not raining. I see it as a sign of weakness. I don't know why. It's just this thing I have. I have no respect for anybody carrying an umbrella, ever.
It's when I was watching Block Party and I finally saw an umbrella bigger than mine, I felt okay about it.
Oh, you're okay with that?
Yeah, well, because I brought a big golf umbrella.
You didn't feel threatened?
No. I felt very comfortable with the size of my umbrella.
You went out and bought a big car or something after that,
no,
right?
Nope. Was just went and hung out backstage. Yeah. That was all. So this is the, we're starting a petition now?
Against
they
umbrella?
To use this.
I'll vote for that one.
Was it Blue Jays games that wanted to use this or Maple Leafs wanted to use this?
Well, I think there's a small little Twitter campaign by the Arkells fans to get this on the Jays Kiss Cam.
Jays, okay. Because Leafs, I mean, you guys can do better than that.
Oh, man. Oh, boy.
This is Kiss Cam by the Arkells. This is the Kaufman Show. That's Jay Farrar.
That's me.
That's Ben Christensen. That's Mark Della Posta. And he wants me to take a break, so I will. Welcome back to the Kaufman Show, TSN Radio, home of the Olympics. And just to let you all know, if you turn on your televisions right now, the Canada-US women's soccer semifinal has just started. They're about 23 minutes in. Canada has a 1-0 lead. Things are looking really good. I look forward to watching the rest of this match. Looks like we'll be able to catch the whole second half.
Refereeing looks really solid, I don't think we'll have any problems there.
I think everything's really, really stellar again. Right. Christine Sinclair with a huge goal. And you know what? I got to say, I think this is how it's going to end. I think we're going to look at a 1-0 match, and
Yeah.
This is going to be a clean game.
Right. Nobody's going to get hurt.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Oh, how much fun this was this afternoon when it was 1-0 Canada. And things were looking good. And as we said, one of the most interesting, exciting, nail-biting soccer games I've ever watched. And I hope that this helps to foster a passion for soccer in this country. And I know our men are a little bit behind, as you know, compared to how our women have advanced. But we saw today that Canada can hang right there with the U.S. And yeah, they have not won in 27 matches. 0-23-4. But that gap looks like it's right there. We have a guest. We're going to bring him on right now. He is a forward with the Montreal Impact. He also played for his country, played for the U.S. under 20 team. He was the first draft choice for the Montreal Impact, number one overall in the MLS this year. And after reading his blog, I really like what this guy has to say. So let's bring him onto the show. Let's welcome Andrew Wenger from the Montreal Impact. Hello, Andrew.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing all right.
How was the, you did a big free outdoor practice tonight, right?
Yep. The whole team was out. It was good just to get out and see everyone and have a lighter session today. But it was good. It's always fun to see the fans.
A lot of fans out there tonight?
Yeah, it was a good turnout.
Cool. Do you see it? The growth sort of shifting? And I feel like there are more and more fans, more people are getting turned on to what the Impact are offering.
Yeah, I mean, I think we started the season off really well with a lot of fans, a lot of people were interested. But, I mean, even recently we've really gotten a lot more people reinvested and people are coming back.
Which is nice. And I'll tell you, I'm one of them. I have not been down there as a member of the press. I've only been down there as a fan. I went to the game against Columbus. And just okay. Thought that the on-field product was fantastic, and the atmosphere in that place. Saputo Stadium is a great place to watch live sports.
Yeah, no, I actually thought that was a really special game. I wrote about that in one of the blogs, that you could feel that. I mean, we went down in the second half, and you could feel in the second half that the fans came alive, and our team kind of responded to that. And we dug ourselves out of that 1-0 hole and actually came back. And that was a really fun game to watch. Even for me, I was hurt at the time.
Andrew, did you watch the Canada-U.S. match today?
I watched some of it.
Can I get your impressions on it?
I didn't think the U.S. looked that great, to be honest.
I would agree with you. Considering Canada's record against them in the last 10 years, it was everybody was expecting. Do you think that the Americans went into the game taking it for granted almost?
I don't know if I saw that. I saw more of just being a little off today. I mean, I don't think when you're in a World Cup semifinal, I don't think you want to take that for granted at all. We just looked a little off. I mean, and obviously, I'm not sure what our first name is. Sinclair up top for Canada, number 12. It's just a fantastic player.
Yeah, she's the best we've got. And with the goal that she scored to make it 3-3, she passed Abby Wambach for most goals in female international soccer.
Wow, yeah, that's quite an achievement.
Sometimes it looks like she's the only one out there. We saw a little bit more from Tancredi so far, but, mm-hmm. You know, and I know that I'm speaking to somebody who has represented his country in soccer. It was very difficult as a fan and as a country where the game is still growing. And, you know, and I know it's still growing in the States as well, but it's still well behind where it is in the U.S. It was a very heartbreaking defeat today. And it was very difficult to watch, I have to say.
Yeah, I mean, I believe it. I mean, whenever you lose in the last seconds of the game, that's a heartbreaker, and especially being so close to being guaranteed a medal in the Olympics, that's on a different level.
Exactly. We are in conversation with Andrew Wenger from the Montreal Impact. Andrew, it seems that you've really grown fond of our city in a very short amount of time.
Yeah, I mean, I was intrigued by what the city has to offer, and I wanted to learn more, and I think I've grown with a small understanding of what's going on here.
Well, I think give you time, man. It's you know, you haven't been here that long. It takes people their whole lives to figure out what goes on, how this town ticks.
Certainly.
What are your first impressions of this city? First of all, do you live in an English part of town or a French part of town?
I live in the old port.
Okay, so you get a little bit of a mix of both then.
Yeah, I mean, it's very touristy down here, so that's different. But I mean, so it's kind of like I have my English connections, but you also get to see a little bit of everything, I think.
Do you, how much time do you spend doing stuff in the city? I mean, obviously you're busy, you have a lot of practices and games and you travel, but are you trying to soak up the culture of this town as well?
I try to as much as I can. I mean, but at a certain point where I need to take care of my body and make sure I'm ready to go on the field for game days and whatnot.
Well, it doesn't just, you know, soaking up culture in this town doesn't just mean getting drunk.
I mean, yes, it does. In Montreal, it does.
Yeah, but I mean, just walking around, I mean, that takes a lot of energy from time to time.
Oh, absolutely. You're one of the things that, that really struck me about the blog was that you wrote a very, very long, it was a couple of thousand words, and very passionate piece about Montreal, and you touched on the ultras, and you touched on well, you even touched on the student protests. Like, I thought it was a really wide-ranging, very interesting piece. Do you want to learn French?
I'd like to learn French, but I don't think that's probably going to happen for a long time. I've always tried to learn foreign languages, both in school and other places, but it's never taken very well to me. It'll take me a while.
Well, I think I'll tell you, I've been here my whole life. I still speak French, and people think I'm from the States. So you can give yourself some time on that, Andrew. You're reading A History of Quebec, right?
Yeah.
What made you pick that up? And again, I honestly, this surprises me because we deal with a lot of professional athletes in this town, and most don't care. This is a paycheck. It's a place.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say I've read every page of the book. I skimmed the book, and I think I've gained a working knowledge of how things operate. But I think it's more important that you can go around town a lot, and if you don't speak French, you can get nasty looks from at certain places. I mean, that's natural. But I think understanding a little bit about the history gave me a little bit more of context to understand and be understanding of people.
When you take the Metro to the games, do you ask for your ticket in French?
No. I have a month pass.
I think that's probably a very smart call.
Just say un, s'il vous plaît, and you'll be okay.
Okay.
I think Jesse March can teach him that one.
Yeah.
There you go. And I'll tell you what, it's the small stuff. Like, people appreciate the smallest of efforts, and seeing the efforts that you've made, and even just, I encourage everybody to check out your blog and to read this piece, and you'll gain an appreciation that you really don't see very often with professional athletes, especially, you know, you're far from home and you're treating this like it's home. And I'll tell you, that makes me want to watch the impact and like the impact more.
Thank you.
All right. So,
appreciate that.
Any chance at a playoff spot?
For us? Yeah. I think we got some tough games coming up, but we're definitely in the hunt.
All right. We'll be out there watching.
Thank you. Enjoy.
Andrew Wenger from the Montreal Impact. Thank you for your time.
Absolutely. Take care.
There he goes. Asking him if he wants to be French. Where did my mind go there? This is an Oshiega hangover. It's just killing me.
You didn't ask him if he wants to be French, if he wants to speak French.
Yeah, but it took me like I went around in eight circles trying to get the question out.
Yeah. I was going to be like, spit it out, Kaufman.
Yeah, that's, you know.
Well, it's Andrew Winger. We don't always get, you know, a professional soccer player
that's
on
right.
our show.
I was
so
very nervous.
Yeah, well, he's, you know.
I have so much respect for that. You don't hear about, I mean, have you ever heard of a player coming from another country and reading about the history of Quebec? And
well, there are professional players who did immerse themselves into the culture a little bit. Rusty Staub did.
Gary Carter did. Yeah, and that's going back 30 years.
Yeah, and as much people don't think he did, Saku Koivu did as well. You know, even guys like Brian Savage and Brad Wilkerson did. And
really, Brad Wilkerson is going to come on air and give us a dissertation on the Quiet Revolution?
No, Michael Barrett enjoyed his time here. He really...
Oh, Jay, I'm not talking about enjoying your time here. I'm talking about immersing yourself in the culture. He's trying to gain a deeper understanding of the way that Quebec works. We all know that it's a different place.
Yeah, well, we don't even know how it works here, so it can be confusing at times.
We good to go there, Mark? All right, we're going to take a little break. And we're going to wrap this all up. It's been a fun few hours. I can't believe the time. She flies. This is the Kaufman Show. We'll be back. Well, Jay, I feel like a broken record, but you know what that sound means, right?
It means we're in our final segment.
It means we get to say goodbye to all our friends.
What's happening?
Well, this is Shaka Brody's been in studio for 2 weeks now.
Oh, okay.
And,
okay.
What ballpark will you be in next Monday when we speak with you, Ben?
Next Monday?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Actually, I probably won't be in any. I think I'll just be slumming around New York City again.
Well, if you can find a better story than slumming around New York City, we'll...
I'm pretty sure I can come up with something.
Okay.
Even if I just fake it, it'll be good. I'll talk about something like mole people I meet in the subway or something like that.
Deal.
Just go, total Kramer story from Seinfeld.
Perfect. Give it a little bit of a baseball angle, and then we're set.
I can do that.
I can fill all the mandates that way.
Well, I'll be going to the Mets game next Sunday, so...
Cool. It's been a blast having you in our city.
And it's been fantastic to be in the city.
It's been really cool to populate Montreal with another diehard Expos fan, if only for a week.
Yeah, and I'm really going to miss all the French-Canadian girls. A lot. Especially the one girl at that one restaurant.
I think that's... Ben has said his piece. He's not going to miss the poutine. He's not going to miss the smoked meat. He's going to miss the French-Canadian.
Well, at least he's being honest about it, because when I leave, that's what I miss, too. Lovely ladies we have in this city.
We'll have one more day with Ben, and then we'll drop him off in Boston after our Fenway Park trip with Brad and Nick. And my goodness, I could not be more excited to go see a ball game. I believe that this is the latest in my life that I've gone in a Major League Baseball season without going to a game.
Haven't been to one in 8 years.
Which blows my mind, and I'm super excited that you'll be coming on the 2nd of September.
Yeah.
I think that'll be... and you seem so excited too, don't you? Are you going to sit there and complain the whole time too? Because if so...
When do I complain?
You can sit in 241, I'll sit in 240.
When do I complain?
All
I don't complain.
Day, every day.
What do I complain about?
Nothing, which is why it's okay to hang out with you, but you complain about it.
Well, I just see things sometimes and complain. A little cynical. No, I'm not. Whatever. I'm not thinking that I'm special.
You go to a no-hitter and you complain about the lack of offense, okay?
It's incredible how much nobody hits during a no-hitter. It's just unacceptable.
I know. The poor things that you deal with in your life.
Yeah.
Let's just want to thank Andrew Wanger for coming on, and once again, check out his blog. Very eloquently written. The guy is super smart, and you've all heard me knock the Impact. You've heard me say that it's second rate. I'm wrong. I was wrong. The MLS is starting to grab hold of me. I'm starting to believe in that as a legitimate sports product in Montreal. I'm a lot more excited about the Impact than I am about the Alouettes. I'll tell you that straight up.
If there's a game on, if the Impact are playing and I happen to be home, which I'm usually not, but if it's an afternoon game, I tune in. I can't stay away from it. I enjoy it so much. I really do.
Just don't.
I honestly mean that. And the Impact for an expansion team have put quite a season together.
That's just the fact that we're still talking about the possibility of them making the playoffs.
Yeah, and there is that, you know, and that's exciting.
Unheard of. Meanwhile, yeah. How's Toronto FC doing?
Ew.
Exactly. Nick, are you a soccer fan at all?
I'm not a big soccer fan. Like a lot of casual soccer fans, I'll watch the big tournaments, but. I know you were touching on this earlier in relation to the Impact. The atmosphere at TFC games is supposed to be incredible.
Yeah, I've heard. And a beautiful stadium as well.
Oh, yeah. That's right. One of our pet projects is to try to get bands in there. We think that would be amazing. But, yeah, back to soccer. It's a really nice place to watch a game. And, you know, I think you don't have to be really diehard soccer fan to go there and enjoy.
No, there's so much. Yeah. There's so much going on. It's the chanting and the cheering and the sights and smells and sounds like any sporting event. You know, I've been to a million baseball games with people who really don't care about baseball, but they always have a good time.
Yeah,
and that's super important. I can't stress it enough. It's not just about the soccer. It's about everything that goes along with it. It's about watching the sun come down over the Olympic Stadium. There's just a lot of really cool factors about being down there. And not just when it's a $20 ticket. And not just when it's a dollar hot dog.
Yeah.
Do you really want to go down there and eat 30 hot dogs? And
I hated those people.
Me too. I hated that.
I hated those people.
The only one I liked was my buddy Tim, who would show up with a cooler at Expos games. He'd show up with a cooler of fancy mustards and sauerkraut.
Huh.
So just to make it a little bit better.
Jeez.
Scary that I remember that.
Scary that he did that.
You know, we were there every day, Mr. Farrar.
Yeah, clearly. We had to. You were bringing along provisions. You were clearly there every day.
Variety is the spice of life, my friend.
Wow.
And when you're going to 60 ball games a summer, you've got to, you need a little variety in there somewhere.
Yeah, okay.
They can't just be Tomooka every fifth day. You'll lose your mind. You need a little sauerkraut every now and then.
Jeez.
So this has been an interesting one, I have to say. This has been a very interesting show. We've kind of bounced all over the place. This is also our last show in primetime, I wonder why. And I want to thank you all for the opportunity of being in primetime for the last 6 weeks. It's been really fun to show up in studio when it's bright out.
Yeah.
And I would imagine talk to people that are sitting in traffic.
Yeah.
These are all things that are new for us, Jay. And I would like to think that
different atmosphere coming in.
But we didn't lose. The show didn't change.
No, it didn't.
The show didn't. It's anybody that's
listens. We didn't sell out.
Damn straight we didn't sell out. Anybody that listens when we're on at our. We used to be on at 11 o'clock. I have no idea what time. I think next week it's 10 or 9:30 or something like that. Turn on your radio next Monday night. Jay and I will be there, I promise.
Mm-hmm.
Ben won't. Nick won't. Brad won't. Mark might. Who knows?
With any luck.
Well, you played. You did a good job, kid.
Well, thank you.
Kid, you look older than me. But, you know, it felt like you did a good job, kid.
Yeah.
Stick with it, kid. You're going places.
Yeah, thanks for chastising me for not voting as well. I appreciate
that
it.
That was my pleasure. That I enjoyed.
You enjoyed that,
yes.
Huh?
It's fun to have somebody political on the board.
Great.
It's good to know. You can hang with us. We appreciate it. It's
conformist.
Yeah, it's been a wild week. It's... like I said, I'm not used to having a roommate, and that's been a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's I'm not used to living and dying by a ball club. And, well, I'm kind of used to going to rock concerts every night, so that wasn't so out of the norm for me. But Oceaga was a wild, wild time, and I want to thank both of you for helping make it such a wonderful weekend. It was super cool.
Yeah.
Super cool. Both concerts, of course, which... Canadian music legend Brad Ferguson made sure the sound was, well, how would you like me to refer to you? I mean, come on. We got to build the aura and the mystique somewhere, right?
Oh, gosh. People call me tour manager extraordinaire, so okay. We'll go with that.
Okay, that works too. Brad, why don't you very quickly tell everybody about Left on Bass?
Oh, wow. This kind of started as a really loose idea that Nick and I were going to start a blog together, but it kind of transformed into just me tweeting about... mostly the Blue Jays, but a little bit all baseball as well. So yeah, it's really not much, but I was overloading all my Twitter followers who follow me because of the Arkells with way too much stuff about baseball. So I made the Left Off Base account.
Both Nick and Brad are huge baseball guys. You can follow them on Twitter for both rock and roll needs and sports needs. Nick is at Nick Dyka, D-I-K-A, one word.
Yep,
all
one word.
Brad, if you want to be followed for rock and roll, it's Brad.
Brad D.W. Ferguson. Otherwise, if you want to follow my baseball nerdiness, it's Left Off Base.
And speaking of baseball nerdiness, Shaka Brody, thank you for, thank you.
Hey, thank you. No, I'll probably never visit a city on my trip as beautiful as Montreal.
Hey, I think that's how we end the show.
Sounds good to me.
Listen up, kid, it's not what you think. Stayed out too late, had a little too much to drink. Walk home across the bridge when the marquee shut down. There's a reason that I love this town. Nobody cares how much money you have. If you've got enough to get in a cab, there'll be drinks on the house. If your house burns down, there's a reason that I love this town. I saw your band in the early days. We all understand why you moved away. We'll hold a grudge. I shot the shit with miniature Tim. If he needs a tune, I'll write one for him. We like the same books and we like the same sounds. There's a reason that I love this town. I played a show in Kelowna last year. Said, pick it up, Joel. We're dying in here. Picture one hand clapping, then picture half that sound. There's a reason that I hate that town. If you saw my band in the early days, then you face down in our soup, some French restaurant. I saw Rivière du Loup last night at a tour. We burnt the place to the ground. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town. There's a reason that I love this town.
You've been listening to The Kaufman Show. For Jay Farrar, I'm Dave Kaufman, and we'll be back next week.
I don't know. What'd that sound like?